avian influenza is back in the news. Plus, the long-awaited prospective planning report from USDA is here, and much more on today's episode of the Arkansas AgCast, which starts right now.
You're listening to the Arkansas AgCast, where we discuss the latest news, trends, and issues impacting Arkansas farmers and ranchers. Our show is brought to you by the Arkansas Farm Bureau Federation and hosted by Jason Brown and John Nickman.
Howdy, 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 howdy.
Good afternoon.
It's a beautiful Thursday.
It is. It's been a pretty week.
Yeah.
It's cold, windy.
We missed every bit of that rain.
Yeah.
Or I did at my house that was coming through. What was that, Monday evening, Tuesday morning a little bit?
Maybe.
My rain gauge is dry. It's getting kind of dusty. I think last week we didn't cover this in the news because we had Senator Bozeman on last week. The deadline was yesterday, but I think we saw disaster declaration. Goodness, I couldn't find my words for 20 counties in the state of Arkansas based on drought. Yeah. So that tells you we need rain.
Yeah. I imagine it's probably going to, I mean, it always rains in the springtime, on wood.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll see.
But last year, we had the wettest winter on record, I think.
Yeah.
This year's been a little bit different. And turns out that pesky old groundhog was right. Feels like he was, anyway.
he looks like he doesn't believe you still.
Yeah, so. He's literally living the weather. He was part of that day and still doesn't believe.
There's something about that groundhog that just knows, right? Magic science.
Anyway, how's y'all's week going?
Good.
Good. All right.
So good. Yeah. So far, so good. What about you, Brian?
It's going pretty well.
Good.
Yeah.
So we like.
He's only
wore
a war's jacket today.
I wish I'd have worn mine.
Yes.
I actually took a vest off to come down here, and I'm regretting that decision.
I was going to, but I didn't want to be cold. I mean, I'm wearing a coat inside in April. So
It's a good show of forward
tells
thinking.
Us what we need.
Something I don't regularly have.
I will tell you this. It's only one of the day.
That's all right.
It's only going to get warmer as the week goes on, from what I can tell. And y'all know Monday what's coming. Oh, you don't. It's an eclipse.
Oh,
you'll
really?
Never believe it.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything about this. Please tell me more.
It seems like the meteorologists are being increasingly positive about the cloud cover or lack thereof on Monday.
Yeah, I think the other day when I was watching local news, that was first I'd heard that it was going to potentially be cloudy.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought of, man, all those people that reserved camping sites and RV spots, and they're just going to be staring at the clouds.
Well, they'll be hanging out in their camper.
Yeah, they will.
I mean,
did you get a spot?
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. There's other stuff to do.
Yeah.
Bring your bicycle.
Man, we are going to. Yes, we did get a campsite.
Did you? Where at?
We are going to Faulkner County.
Okay.
Right on
the
edge of Faulkner, Perry County. We do this regardless of eclipse
and
acts of nature, generally. But I will tell you guys about, and I mentioned this to Brian yesterday, but we are going to have a fantastic meal over the weekend that I'm very excited about.
What are you going to cook?
It's not me, my friend. It's a gentleman named Ken Buck.
Ken Buck.
Have you ever heard of Toad Suck Bucks?
I've heard of Toad Suck Arkansas.
Yeah.
But not Toad Suck Bucks.
Well, it's a steak establishment.
Ooh.
Right there on the outskirts of Bigelow.
Bigelow, yeah.
And it is fantastic.
So what kind of steaks are you going to have?
He's usually got three or four different cuts,
New York strip guy?
The best cut.
Filet.
The ribeye.
Okay, I'm just checking.
No, I'm sure. Hey, look, you act like I've never eaten a steak before. Talking about filet. My wife probably will order filet. I haven't moved her over to the good side.
But that's the same thing in our household. I grew up eating ribeyes, though. Filets were like, you know, that was a special occasion.
Yeah, yeah.
But she likes fillets. Give me a ribeye all day. What about you, Brian?
I like ribeyes.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like a fillet, too, but yeah. at this point, I haven't had steak in so long, I'd take it.
Just have meatloaf.
Y'all got a minute steak?
I'm hallucinating.
You bring that thing on. But,
yeah. I like the bone-in ribeye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. If you have listened to this show for any length of time, you know that we have asked every cattle rancher who's ever been on this show, what is the best steak, cut a steak? And every one of them, the answers have been completely unanimous. Ribeye.
Yeah. I will say.
I trust.
There's a certain grocery store here in town on Cantrell.
We just got one yesterday.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
All their steaks were good, but I picked up New York strip a while back just because they were on sale.
Sure.
Woo, buddy.
Yeah.
Knocked me off my socks. I've gone back several times since then.
That's probably number two for me.
And I've never really liked New York strips, but that one, I don't know. The quality of their meat's just top notch.
I agree. I also did that. My dad came to town a few weeks ago, and I grabbed, I think, a ribeye and a strip or two strips or something like that. Anyway, just because I was just grabbing kind of what was marked down, you know, what was about to go out.
Yeah, they were thick cut, too.
Yeah, and, man, I was impressed. I mean,
I like to reverse sear my steaks.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
I soaked them in a little bit of Dale's beforehand, and I don't usually marinate a steak, but I do.
Yeah, more of a salt and pepper guy.
And then pat them dry.
Yeah, yeah.
Salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Smoked them for about an hour.
You ever sous vide a steak?
Oh, lots.
Would you rather reverse sear a steak, like on a smoker?
Uh-huh.
Or have it sous vide and then sear it?
I don't know. I like sous vide, but there's a lot to it. That's a lot of water for a couple pounds of protein.
Yeah, I've had the thought that I'm wasting water doing that.
Yeah,
but
I usually try and let it, time beforehand, but
the forward thinking comment.
Yeah,
you got to have 3 hours.
Yeah,
you know, and if you don't remember that by lunch, you know, it sous vide.
To your point, I didn't realize this until you just said that.
Yeah,
steak is always an impulse meal.
Yeah,
at our house, it's always like, man, the sun's out. We did some yard work today or whatever.
What do you think about steaks, honey?
I'm going to go, or I'm at Kroger and they, you know, or whatever the grocery store is. They've got a few marked down. Let me just grab them here,
yeah,
you know, or whatever. I never put that on the menu for the week or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mostly like to eat them. So
just as long as you're eating them. That's
it doesn't matter what day of the week or if I had them yesterday, yeah, as long as I'm having a steak.
I may try and sneak out to our favorite place to pick up steaks while I'm up in that direction.
Yeah, those steaks
also
are good.
Yeah,
they're really good.
That and the breakfast sausage.
Yeah, the beef breakfast sausage.
Yeah, yeah, I know. So anyway, what else is going on? I'll tell you.
Basketball.
Little basketball. I did not get to watch that game. You asked me if I watched the women's game, Iowa and LSU, the other night. I didn't, but I continue to see coverage on it, which is a cool thing to see. But I think we talked about this. It's been 2 weeks because we had a special guest on last week. But the AgCast team, which includes, obviously, Brian, yourself, me, and Matthew, put our own little bracket challenge together, and I'm here to report on the results of that. Do you have any idea how you're performing?
No, none okay. whatsoever.
Do you remember who you chose?
I do.
Okay, as the champion.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that?
Purdue.
Okay. I also chose Purdue.
Ooh.
So that's pretty interesting. Brian, do you have any idea how your bracket is performing at this point in the tournament?
Sort of.
Uh-huh.
I do know that I picked UConn.
You did. Matthew also picked UConn. So I think that's very interesting. 2-2 on the champions. We both picked Purdue. They both picked
UConn. Well, the thing is, like, you can lose a lot of picks.
Uh-huh.
If you pick that winner, it, like, trumps almost everything
in
the bracket challenge.
Yeah, that's how they do the, you know, at least with the service that we're using, has sort of a maximum points achievable, meaning like this is how many points you can get before this thing's said and done. And I will tell you, if you were to achieve that, nobody could touch you. you are currently in first place.
Yeah, I lied to you. I knew about that the whole time.
I knew you were too competitive. I knew it.
You were the one that wanted us to do this whole thing, so you weren't convincing me. You hadn't looked at it.
And doing pretty well, might I add.
But if, like I said, if UConn wins,
yeah,
I'm just up there as a place card.
Right, yeah, now. So Brian is in second place. He's only a mere 40 points behind you, and I don't know how the points are assigned per game or round or whatever, but that's close. Mm. So your maximum amount of, let's just talk about percentage of accuracy here.
Yeah.
You have been 82.5% accurate on your picks.
Me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's according to this.
I'm an economist. That makes sense, right?
Yeah. I also saw you looking up if a wolf could beat a tiger in a fight. So I don't know what kind of...
I mean, you got to worry about statistics and odds on every category.
Brian has picked 73.5% of the games correctly.
Yeah.
Which is to be commended. I myself am a bit lower than both of you at 55% accuracy. And Mr. Magnifrau is at 19% accuracy. Mm,
that's tough.
Of his picks. He is... now, there's a disclaimer here, isn't there?
It's kind of the last second thing for Matthew. He was on vacation.
He was on vacation. Very last second. As a matter of fact, about I texted him and said, you've got about an hour to get your picks in if you want to be a part of this thing. So, he deserves a little bit of grace there. So, anyway, there you go. That's the standings of our bracket.
So, Matthew is probably the one taking us out to lunch. Is that it? We agreed on that, right?
Anybody ever agreed on any payment, but...
Y'all must not have been there.
I think next year we should maybe extend this out to the listeners if anybody else wants to get involved.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun to do.
So, there's the current status. Mr. John McMinn is in the top place with Brian bringing up second, me third, Matthew fourth. So that was a little fun. More games this weekend, I do believe.
Yes, Saturday.
Don't have that scheduled for Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the championship game is Tuesday?
I don't know.
It'd be Monday. Yeah,
it's pretty soon right after the Final Four, I think.
Monday.
Saturday and Monday.
Oh, it is always Monday. Yeah, I guess.
Monday night.
What is one Saturday at 3 and the other one's at 7 maybe?
Okay.
Maybe.
Oh, look here. That doesn't have the time. But so UConn and Alabama and then NC State and Purdue. This doesn't have the time. So I apologize for that. But
did you hear about NC State's story? I don't mean to linger this on anymore, but like they were 17-14 going into the ACC tournament.
Uh-huh.
They won the tournament. Yeah. And just they played 5 straight games nonstop. Won that tournament. And then just a day or two later, started playing, and they've won ever since.
Although the 11th seed.
They're 11th seed, yeah.
I mean.
They're playing ball right now.
And their women's are also still in that side of the tournament, too, which is pretty fun.
Yeah.
Man, basketball season gets exciting, doesn't it? All right, well, we mentioned that Senator Bozeman was on the show last week, and I just thought I'd say take a second to remind everybody that episode is up. It's live. Senator Bozeman talked to us about the farm bill. I think maybe even a couple comments in there that maybe haven't been included in some of his other media interviews. So go check that out. It's actually really short. It's under 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. We did do a video with him, so you can watch it or you can listen to it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... good conversation. Y'all had some fun.
Yeah, we did. I wanted it to be a little longer, but I kind of pushed it, I guess.
Yeah, well.
Anxiety was a little high. It's a senator, man.
He's busy.
Yeah.
But you did invite him back.
Yeah, absolutely.
I went back and watched it, and the laugh that he gets, the deadpan humor when you tell him that he's the only repeat guest of the show and he could add that to his resume. He sits over here in my chair. He goes, "Oh, yeah, it'll be right at the top." Had me cracking up.
I almost said some comment. It was like, that might help you get some votes. So I was like, that'd be probably a little inappropriate. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's fun. What you don't know until now, when we tell you, is that also we had in the office last week Congressman Westerman Bruce Westerman and Congressman Rick Crawford.
Yes.
They also joined us down here on the AgCast and talked about a number of issues that impact farmers, including Congressman Westerman from his perspective as the chair of the Natural Resources Committee, Congressman Crawford with his leadership role on the House Ag Committee, mm-hmm. and some of his thoughts on potentially becoming the chair for the infrastructure.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly the title of that committee. His future endeavors?
Yeah, his future endeavors.
Westman talked about his kind of conservation initiatives bill that he put together. So it was all really good information, good conversation.
Yeah, Congressman Crawford also talked to us a lot about the labor, the ag labor issue and that working group and what he, of those recommendations, what he thinks will actually, you know, stands a good chance of becoming policy and how that will happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how all that unfolds and what bills are put forward to address those. And if, is it going to be all of it, everything? Mm-hmm. I don't see that, but maybe, hopefully.
Sure. Sure.
You know?
And the significance of that being of such a bipartisan group.
Oh, yeah.
He talks about
was
that.
Was there
too.
14?
Seven and seven, I think.
There were seven Democrats, seven Republicans, and they, 15, 16, 17, something, recommendations, all agreed unanimously.
Unanimous, yeah.
Out of like 20, I think.
And only three of them didn't even make it in or something. So anyway, we didn't want to take a full 3 weeks off from the show, so we're kind of dispersing those. Well, not kind of. We're dispersing those every other week. So Senator Bozeman was last week. You've got us back this week. Next week, we'll have one of the deep dives. We'll be back. And then by the end of April, we'll have all those out and about for you.
Yeah, so you're going to miss us at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, a little bit. But don't worry, we're still here. We're just kind of trying to get those out and keep the regular show moving, too.
Absolutely.
A couple of other notes before we get into the news. There's a beef and forage field day. I goofed this up almost. I guess it's tomorrow. I'm sorry. I had my dates backwards. Beef and forage field day. Researchers and extension specialists with the U of A will present on future forage programs, hay verification, and winter feed options at the beef and forage field day. And that's happening tomorrow in Hope at the Southwest Research and Extension Center. So April 5th, tomorrow, Beef and Forage Field Day. There's some information out there online if you're looking for that. Go to the U of A's website. There's no cost to attend, and bound to be some good information there.
Yeah, that'll be a good one to attend.
Yep.
We've talked about this in our last episode.
Yeah.
The Arkansas Department of Ag hosts Free Tree Fridays in recognition of Arbor Day. The Forestry Division will be giving away bare root seedlings at various locations around the state, which started March 22nd and will go on through April 26th. Species will vary by location and limited to 5 seedlings per person. And it's first come, first serve. And if you want more information about those locations, time, go to agriculture.arkansas.gov and click on forestry, and you'll find it under there. And
yeah.
It's a pretty cool project.
Get a couple free trees. Now's the time.
Yeah, yeah. So. I don't get good growth in my backyard, so it'd just be a waste for me to go up there.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I wouldn't mind some fruit trees, though.
I know. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're doing that. And then a quick note. I got slid a note this week that we're sponsoring, Farm Bureau is sponsoring the 32nd Annual Central Arkansas Antique Power Show. And that'll be April 13th at the Grant County Courthouse Square. This is basically an antique sort of vehicle, for lack of a better term, show. Antique tractors, classic cars, antique farm implements, and a lot more.
That'd be really cool to go to.
It'd be very cool to see, for sure. And it's the 32nd annual event. So obviously good stuff there to keep going that many years. Again, that's April 13th from 8 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. And I think that wraps up. I'll just yield to you guys if I forgot to mention anything or anything else that we need to cover before we get into the news.
No? You want me to start off the news?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, unfortunately, highly pathogenic avian influenza is back in the news.
Oh, boy.
And in an area of agriculture that it's never been.
Really?
Yeah. It was reported early last week that clinical samples of milk from sick cattle collected from four dairy farms, two in Texas and two in Kansas, tested positive for highly pathogenic avian influenza, or HPAI.
Mm.
According to USDA, detections of HPAI in Texas were introduced by wild birds.
Mm-hmm.
This makes the first documented case of the virus in cattle. At the time, it was believed that the virus was not being transmitted from mammal to mammal. However, since news broke, HPAI has been found in dairy herds in Michigan, Idaho, and New Mexico.
Mm.
So three additional states.
My goodness.
It was reported that the infected cows in Michigan were imported from Texas. Idaho officials also reported that their infected dairy cows were imported from outside the state, but they didn't name what state.
Okay.
And what I was looking at. Given the virus's spread, Idaho officials stated that cow-to-cow transmission could not be ruled out at this point.
Oh, interesting.
It should also be noted that the risk of transmission to humans is fairly low if an individual is not in direct contact with an infected animal.
Mm.
So for you and me that aren't in livestock production, very to non-existent
okay.
chance.
Good to know.
But for those of you that are in animal production, your risk would be significantly higher than me.
Yeah.
Jason's. However, it was reported this week that a person who works closely with cattle, like I said, was infected and was said to have mild symptoms. Some eye irritation, but nothing too severe. As of today, all herds have been quarantined, meaning no animals can enter or leave those farms. Some of the symptoms officials are noting include decreased lactation in cattle, low appetite, and other symptoms. So far, officials have reported affected animals have recovered after isolation with no associated mortality.
Okay.
So that's good.
Good, yeah.
According to USDA, consumers should not be worried about the safety of the commercial milk supply or that this poses any risk to consumer health. Dairies are required to send only milk from healthy animals into processing for human consumption.
Mm-hmm.
Milk from impacted animals is being diverted to or destroyed so it does not enter the food supply chain. In addition, pasteurization has continually proven to inactivate bacteria and viruses like influenza in milk. Pasteurization is required for any milk entering interstate commerce.
Hmm.
Lastly, I also want to mention Calmaine Foods, Inc., the nation's largest producer and distributor of fresh eggs, reported HPAI was detected in its Parmer, Texas facility. In result, the company lost about 3.6% of its total flock, and under USDA guidance has shut the facility down. USDA has also noted there is no risk to current egg supply, and consumers should always properly cook their eggs before consuming them in general. But I think some of the key points here is that this has started in Texas, and within a week's time, it had spread to four other states.
Yeah.
Also, the egg situation. It's not only in cattle, but it's also in poultry now. And then also consumers shouldn't be concerned at all about whether milk on the shelf or eggs on the shelf or any risk of having this contamination.
Yeah. Yeah. I think probably, not to speculate, and I don't mean to do that, but I think the question would be, we saw this big time last year.
Yeah.
We saw those egg prices increase.
Yep.
And I would assume by USDA saying that there's no risk to the current egg supply, I wonder if that's talking about just meaning, the virus itself or the supply meaning, production.
Yeah, I don't want to create a stir, but
yeah, sure.
It rarely stays in one location.
Yeah.
So
we'll just have to kind of watch that and see.
But at everything I read, they're taking the necessary precautions. I think the thing that would really open my eyes up and be concerned is if it got into swine.
Yeah.
Because what I was reading, swine, pigs have the same receptors biologically as humans and as birds.
Okay.
So that disease or, virus can mutate within that animal and be passed on to us.
Okay. All right.
So keep that in mind.
But right now, everybody, no risk.
No, don't run to the store and buy milk and bread over this.
Yeah, please don't.
Not we're going to.
Yeah, we mean, especially with an eclipse on the horizon. All right. I think we mentioned this a few weeks back when Mike Clam from USDA was on the show. But last week, we saw NAS released its prospective planting forecast for the U.S. Let's take a look at the numbers here. USDA says farmers will likely increase soybean acres this year, up nearly 3.5% over last year. According to the report, soybean growers intend to plant more than 86 million acres across the U.S., and Arkansas is among the states where soybean acres are set to go up by 100,000 acres or more from last year.
I believe it.
Yeah. Corn, on the other hand, will likely see a reduction in acres, an estimated 5% drop as it stands right now. That equates to a 90 million acre decrease across the country, according to AFBF economist Betty Resnick. Wheat acres are also forecast to drop in 2024, while cotton acres tick up. Cotton looks to be up this year with 4% more acres to be planted over last year. The biggest news, perhaps, was a drop in overall principal crop acreage, down 6.3 million acres or 2% over last year. And I know you reference economist Dr. John Newton on the show.
Yes.
With your conversation with Senator Bozeman. I've seen him produce a chart saying where did those acres go.
Yeah.
So that might bear a little bit more looking into at some point. But getting back on track here, looking at quarterly grain stocks. So shifting our look here to quarterly grain stocks. Corn stocks are up 13% over this time last year. That could be driving some of this. Soybeans are up 9% over March 1, 2023. And our on-farm soybean stocks were up 24% from a year ago. As a reminder, NASA's acreage estimates are based on surveys conducted during the first 2 weeks of March from a sample of nearly 72,000 farm operators across the nation. Now, putting that acreage drop into perspective here, in 2023, Arkansas corn harvest was up 19% over 2022, with the yield up 10 bushels per acre over 2022 as well. And then for the statewide corn crop, we saw an overall production increase of 26% in 23 versus 22.
Wow.
Our soybean harvest was down 6% last year compared to 22, and we fell just short of the projected 3 million acres harvested mark. We did hit a record yield last year, though, at 54 bushels per acre, and overall produced 159 bushels of soybeans, which was down about 2% over 22, like I said. All right. As we wrap this up, turning the attention back to planting and the current state of affairs in Arkansas.
Yeah.
As of this week's planting progress report, we're not ready to bring this full feature on the show yet, but wanted to give you the numbers as they stand. We've got 11% of the corn crop planted in Arkansas, 3% of the rice planted, and soybeans are also on the board at 1%. So corn's a little ahead of the five-year average there. But soybeans and rice are pretty much on pace with the five-year average.
You know, when you read that last part, I was like, this sounds familiar. It's like deja vu.
Yeah, I know. I probably got maybe a month left before I talk about that for, 4 months.
Yeah,
you know?
I would like to see. So I've talked to a lot of farmers that are pulling back their corn production and increasing their rice production.
Yeah.
Even as far as no corn and bringing back rice.
Oh, interesting.
So I would like to see that difference, you know.
Where we're bringing back corn acres, or are we picking them up in rice? You know who could answer that question?
Who's that?
Jared Harkey, I bet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I bet he could. I don't know that we could get him up here from Stuttgart, but maybe we could ask him that question.
Dr. Harkey would be a good interview.
Yeah. I've interviewed him a couple times since I've been at Farm Bureau, talked to him, worked with him for many years. Mm-hmm. He's just really good. He's knowledgeable. Yeah. He likes data. He likes to get into that kind of stuff.
Smart cat.
Yeah. Everything I've read, this gets a little bit beyond what we do here on the AgCast, obviously. Mm-hmm. Everything I've read has pointed to market influence on pulling back
the,
on corn.
The profit's not there in corn.
And that's why I wanted to pull in that stocks, you know, the grain stocks reporting. I will say, I did read one analysis that said that the lack of corn could bring fertilizer, you know, some input costs down.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That'll be interesting to see if anybody experiences that. But it's enough speculation for now on all that. Let's take a short break and hear a bit about what a Farm Bureau membership can do in your community.
All right.
Your Arkansas Farm Bureau membership supports the work we do on behalf of Arkansas farmers, ranchers, and communities around the state. A $40 annual Farm Bureau membership makes a difference in your neighborhood. From youth leadership programs and academic scholarships to hunger relief and disaster support, you can make a difference and be a champion for your community. Join at arfb.com.
It's my turn.
It is. You're back
once
up.
Again.
You're back up.
All right. So USDA has opened up $1.5 billion for regional conservation for the Regional Conservation Partnership Program, or RCPP.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, Secretary Vilsack announced the department is now accepting proposals for RCPP, and project proposals must be submitted by July 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
The 2014 Farm Bill. There's a little history about this program.
Mm-hmm.
In that 14 Farm Bill was this program was first. The Farm Bill first authorized the RCPP program.
Mm-hmm.
Allowing private sector organizations and state governments to partner with USDA for conservation projects in an effort to address issues at the landscape level.
Oh,
or kind
okay.
of boots on the ground.
Yeah.
The project is intended to span across regions as well as watersheds. The maximum amount allowed for projects is $10 million and the minimum is $250,000. According to USDA's press release, RCPP will help farmers, ranchers, and forest landowners adopt and expand conservation strategies to enhance natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
These projects, in turn, can save farmers money, create new revenue streams, and increase productivity. In fiscal year 2023, RCPP received requests totaling $2.2 billion, which was well over the $500 million that was available. Given that demand, or that high demand, USDA will also have more money to spend this year due to an increase in the amount of Inflation Reduction Act funding that is available. Secretary Vilsack was quoted saying, "We had unprecedented demand for the Regional Conservation Partnership Program last year, showing the robust interest in conservation conservation from farmers and ranchers.
Mm-hmm.
Through the increase in funding from President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, we're able to invest more this year in this important program, increasing our impact across the landscape."
Mm-hmm.
So, the $1.5 billion in fiscal year 2024 for RCPP funding, according to a press release, will be for two different types of projects.
Okay.
RCPP Classic and RCPP Alternative funding arrangements.
Mm.
Classic projects are implemented using NRCS contracts and easements with producers, landowners, and communities in collaboration with project partners, while the AFA projects partner with organizations that work with farmers directly.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Applicants can apply at RCPP portal on the Natural Resources Conservation Service website. So if you want any more information on that, please look into that.
Call your local.
Yeah, and I apologize for stumbling through every word of them.
No, a lot of acronyms. Is it, hey, anytime we talk about the government, which I'm about to do,
yeah,
it's alphabet soup. Man.
Bring it on. Deere was the same way when I worked there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. We should start using jargon like that, corporate jargon around here.
Buzzwords
on this
the biz.
Show. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, before we have too much fun, I'll wrap us up today with some news from the EPA that could impact farmers in the market for semi trucks.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to DTN for the reporting on this story, who reports that farmers shopping for semi trucks could see a changing marketplace under new greenhouse gas standards for heavy-duty vehicles. The changes, which are slated to go into effect in 2027, were finalized last week when the EPA unveiled the new rule, stating it would avoid 1 billion tons of pollutant criteria standards from 2027 through 2032. The rule could impact several vehicle categories used by farmers and ranchers, including delivery trucks, refuse haulers, dump trucks, and semis. DTN included a quote from EPA Administrator Michael Regan, who said the new rule is the strongest national greenhouse gas standard for heavy-duty vehicles in history, end quote, and will end up saving trucking operators on fuel costs in the long run, he says. There are industry groups who oppose the rule,
yeah,
as you might imagine, including the American Trucking Association, Others, such as heavy-duty engine manufacturers like BorgWarner, Cummins, Eaton, and Ford, actually say that they're committed to aggressively cutting greenhouse gas emissions with near-term milestones and long-term net zero goals,
okay,
according to DTN's reporting. Of note, Congress voted a year ago largely along party lines to rescind EPA's rule for tougher emissions standards for heavy-duty trucks, but President Joe Biden vetoed that bill. Mm-hmm. So that's what allows this to come out and you know, be implemented like we talked about.
And these new regs are for brand-new trucks.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you for that clarification. Yeah, brand-new. And the categories go beyond what I named. I just kind of tried to pick out what farmers might use. You know?
Yeah, I just pictured people hauling cattle or grain or mm-hmm. what have you.
Yeah. So there you go. That's I think that wraps us up on the news portion of the show for the week.
We did.
So that brings us to you, sir.
It does. So, and you are ready to play.
Stone the host. Yes, we are. Well, no, we're not, but we're ready for the soundbite.
No, I'm not ready. More basketball?
The Final Four edition.
Final Four edition. Yeah. Which only means it gets harder.
Yeah. Arkansas. It might. 94.
It might. But, well, you wanted an Arkansas question. I was going to save it to the end, but let me give you one.
Okay.
Bit of trivia. I got distracted. You know, we can turn off all the notifications we want to on these iPads.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to break some news.
Well, you're going to steal my question.
Okay, well, I won't then. Go ahead. Please move forward.
Did you see news?
It distracted me very much.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I'm assuming I know what this is going to be.
But you probably know.
You have to.
I'm sorry then.
He left, didn't he?
Who is the Arkansas head coach who left the program to become the new head coach at USC?
Mr. Musselman.
I knew it, man. As soon as they announced it, I was like, he's gone.
You don't have that amount of smoke around a topic without some fire. Right. I mean, it's just one of those things.
Yes, that's late breaking news. Just happened about a half hour ago. Yeah. So,
If you heard me stumble through a story, that's why. Yeah. It's a subject line popped down on my iPad.
I mean, not to turn this into the sports talking head show, but man, you have one bad year and you're like, peace, see ya. You know, there's got to be more to it than that.
Yeah,
but
well, we never know the whole story.
Somebody compared him to Lou Holtz the other day. I read, just always off to bigger and greater things.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, but good luck, dude.
If you're going to leave, USC is not a bad gig.
Not a bad place to go living in Southern California.
Nice weather out there.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Here we go. What is the highest number of games that a one team can play in a single NCAA tournament? How many games can one team play in a single NCAA tournament?
Six.
Wrong.
Seven.
There you go.
The play-in game.
The first four. If they were one of the first four and they went all the way to the championship, they could possibly play seven games. Mm.
VCU. Well, I guess they only made it to the Final Four, didn't they?
Yeah.
From your question a couple weeks ago. Okay.
Correct.
All right.
Okay.
So they played six.
He just sat here and watched us count.
I was using my fingers and everything.
That's all part still of the fun, isn't it? Sorry. Okay. Who is credited with coining the phrase March Madness?
Vitell.
Barkley.
No. That would be CBS broadcaster Brent Musburger.
Brent Musburger.
Oh, okay.
Is he the one? No, he's not the one that does the Masters, too. He's the other one, right?
Yeah.
Jim Nance.
Yeah.
All right. So,
well,
0 for 2. This does not bode well for me with this tournament.
Uh-huh.
Which program was the last to win back-to-back championships?
Florida.
Okay, you got one.
Yeah.
Really?
Can you name the years?
What's his name was the coach? So that would have been somewhere.
What's his name was the coach?
This is very impressive.
That would have been probably like somewhere between 2005 and 2009. So I'm going to say 6 and 7 or 7 and 8.
There you go. 6 and 7.
Yeah. Really?
Wow. What is that guy's name? He went to coach at Oklahoma City too after Florida.
Yeah.
You mean NBA?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Oh, man. What is that guy's name? Anyways, that's not the question.
North Carolina seems like an obvious win or obvious pick, but it's wrong.
Yeah, well, it was Florida. He got it. So.
Oh, I thought you said there were two.
No, they won back to back.
You're like, who's why the are last you answering one? This question still?
Who's the last one to
I
win
heard
back to back?
Back, but I thought you said that there were only two teams.
Oh no,
I just made that up.
No, there's been several teams to win back to back. Okay,
the last one.
The last one was in 2007.
It's
so,
been a long week.
So UConn now is up,
has a chance,
and they have a chance to win back to back. It's a hard thing to do.
I can't imagine. So, yeah. Okay.
UCLA won like what? 3 or 4 in a row? Almost 5?
Yes, they won
and
several.
That's 70s?
Yeah.
Well, UCLA would have been my guess, but no, you know. Anyway. All right. Is that all the trivia we got?
I guess that's all we'll do on this.
Man, you got that. I mean, not only do you have the team correct, but you got the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive. I got to tell
that
you.
That was
I'm
in
impressed.
College.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun today. We'll continue. We'll come back and check up next time around on how we all ended up on the brackets.
Yeah. Well, the term will be over by then, won't it?
Yeah. Next show. Mm-hmm. The next show will not be a normal show. We'll have one of the deep dives next week, but we'll be back in a couple weeks.
Cool.
And sincerely, best of luck with Purdue. So
good luck to you, Mr. UConn. Hope you lose.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, that wraps up the news for this week. Thanks for following along with the Arkansas AgCast. We're grateful for you taking the time to watch and listen.
Remember, you can catch new episodes on the show every Thursday afternoon. Find video episodes on Facebook and YouTube. Listen to the audio version wherever you listen to podcasts.
And make sure to subscribe and leave a review when you have a few extra minutes. The Arkansas AgCast is brought to you by Arkansas Farm Bureau. I'm Jason Brown.
And I'm John McMinn.
And we'll see you next week.